You're listening to Off-Road Garage Podcast, and here are Jason and Jim.
And we're live. What's going on, brother?
Switch it over. All right. Yeah, we're live. We're good.
Now we're live?
Yeah, we're not live.
Oh, okay.
Now we're live. So many buttons.
You have too many buttons over there.
I know. We need an assistant.
You need to focus, because we've got a cool guest on to talk about how to make four-wheel drive actually be four-wheel drive.
How to keep your four-wheel drive four-wheel driving.
Yep. We got Cora from Torque Masters on. Cora, you there? Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Welcome. All the way from scenic upstate New York, I believe, right?
Yes, right outside of Rochester, New York.
Very cool. So we met you out on the Expedition 2 event in the UP. You trekked all the way out here with your hubby and puppy and spent the weekend with us in the northern woods of Michigan. How'd you like Michigan?
Oh, my gosh. It blew me away. I had no idea. And I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I didn't know what the UP was. I thought that was Canada.
Okay, fair enough.
Because, like, Michigan's a peninsula, so I just thought that UP was, like, the top part of it.
Okay.
But, like, it really reminded me a lot of Canada. And just the trees and topography looks a lot like what we saw when we did a lap around Lake Ontario. It was a similar style A to B car camping event.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people are blown away by the fact that we actually have some bigger hills. I mean, they're not mountains, but they're bigger hills, and we've got some rocks, and we've got, they think of, you know, Detroit metro area and mudding, basically, when you hear Michigan wheeling.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's the same thing, though. Like, I've never been to upstate New York. I know there's some amazing stuff up there. You know, I think New York City.
Yeah.
The busy, crazy part.
Right. And that's what a lot of people think, too.
Yeah,
but up here we have the Finger Lakes, which are carved out by the glaciers. Some of them are super deep, like 600 feet and 40 miles long, and it's the perfect terroir for growing really good wine.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, now there's like wine tours, cheese tours, distillery tours, brewery tours, and the foliage up here is amazing in the fall, and it's a great place to take a vacation, and it's also very affordable to live out here. The cost of living is very low.
That's cool. You guys get all the leafers that come out and check it out.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Leaf peepers. So I guess for those who don't know, you're the president, CEO of Torque Masters. What is Torque Masters?
So Torque Masters was founded in 2003, and I purchased the company in 2014. I was formerly a sponsored rock crawler of Aussie Locker, which was our flagship product back in the day, and had the opportunity to step in and buy the company when the founder wanted to retire. So I'd already been using the product for years. My husband had it as well. And once I took over the company, we had a new product in the works called Torque Locker, which is a big brother version of the Aussie Locker, which they're both mechanical drop-in lockers. They're the easiest style of locking differentials, traction aid device to install. They're the most affordable, and they're arguably the most reliable because there's no airlines to fail, electrical gremlins, stuff like that. You just put it in and it works.
Fair enough. Huh. So you just basically pull out the axle shafts, pop out the spider gears, and put your new centerpiece in. It's not even a carrier replacement. Yeah. It goes inside the carrier.
Yeah.
Correct. And depending on the axle, you only have to pull one axle shaft. So like the Dana 60 housing is so big, you just pull one axle shaft out, and then you can take out all the spider gears and put our locker in, and then slide the axle shaft back in.
Oh, okay. That's very cool.
A Dana,
yeah.
Yeah. A Dana 35 in the rear of TJs and other Jeeps kind of selectively. We've done Dana 35 and Ford 8.8 and Chrysler 8 and Porter. Those are all C-clip style rear axles. We've done installs on those in half an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impressive. It's pretty cool. So people call it a lunchbox locker, the style of locker, and there's conflicting, like, history on where the name came from. Some people say it's because you can install it during your lunch break, and other people say it's because it can fit inside your lunch box. Okay. So I'm kind of in the middle of both.
It's kind of a lunch break thing.
Yeah, I like the lunch break one, I think, better.
Yeah.
See me walking out to the garage at lunch. Hang on, guys. I got half an hour.
Yeah.
Let's go wheeling tonight.
Yeah, it's Friday. We're going wheeling tonight. You can put the locker in real quick. Well, that's super cool. So it sounds like it's a – I mean, Jason and I were talking about this before we got you on the show. I mean, we've run selectables or mechanicals or airs, and we had a problem with my front ARB. When we went to Moab, it didn't work in the shop. We had it, and we were leaving tomorrow, and I had no air. Something was not working. It wouldn't lock.
We were just assuming, we're like, well, it's just going to run it the way it is.
And somehow when I got there, it worked. Like, the wheeling god smiled on me and said, you guys made it this far. We're going to let you have a locker in the front. but when I got home, it didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of finicky about how it wants to. I've had to rebuild the thing probably 6 times, you know, just put new seals in it. So it sounds like a better option to just throw the thing in and forget about it.
And not have that full carrier replacement and have to know about all the gearing and making sure that it all meshes back up and all the
stuff
that goes
with that. Yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to every type of traction aid device, and there's no unicorn, let's say.
Right.
But we fit the bill for a lot of people, especially OEM axles, where you don't want to put a lot of money into it. If you're going to someday upgrade to Dana 44 or 110 axles, you don't want to spend $1,200 on a Dana 35.
Yeah.
But spending $270, not that bad. Right. Throw it in, go have fun, save up for a 1-ton swap if that's your cup of tea, and you're not out a lot of money. So that's why our style of locker is so popular.
And at that price, I could darn near take it out and sell it and still recoup some of my money. You know, if I upgrade, like, well, I got this locker for $150 on eBay or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, someone's doing that. Fork, go ahead.
Sorry. They have a lot of resale value because of our warranty and our reputation and our made in USA alloy.
Right.
They don't wear out, so you can resell them totally.
And so the warranty would transfer. It's not like to original buyer or anything.
It is the original buyer.
Okay.
But honestly, like, we had Aussies in our CJs for 12+ years. They're still in the CJ, and we sold it.
Okay.
Right.
So
I just wonder how many people are putting those in their lease Jeeps.
I mean, it's something I would consider.
Taking it out, putting it into the next one. It'd be that easy.
Yeah.
Be that easier. Worst case, you just, for the money, you can leave it in there and not be heartbroken.
Right. You wouldn't be upset.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not leaving a $1,300 locker in there.
Salesman might be a little more confused.
Yeah. Right. Well, plus not having to worry about setting up my gears. Like, that's a weekend. Uh-huh. That's easy for a weekend. You said half an hour to an hour install. I can knock out both in my driveway.
Front, the front takes a little bit longer because you're dealing with hubs and pulling the axle shafts out. The Dana 30, you have to pull the case out, but you just put everything back the way you found it, and you don't have to shim anything.
Okay.
Right.
Leave all these other bolts in.
You don't need specialty tools or skills.
Sounds like right up my alley.
It is. Just follow the instructions and you'll be fine.
Watch the YouTube video and you're golden. So you touched on
YouTube out there.
I bet. You touched on this. You kind of try to glaze over this briefly. You said you were a sponsored racer for them prior to you owning the company. What's up with that?
Yeah. So let's see. I started wheeling back in high school. I went to undergrad at RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. And then I joined the local 4x4 club up here, and the owner of Torque Masters was in the club, and got to know him for 10+ years. And it was funny. My old CJ I mentioned, it was pretty much the end of its life, and it had been a rock crawler. My husband and I did competitive rock crawling at Roush Creek. He was my spotter, and previously he had done competition rock crawling too. So it was really good relationship building when I'm hanging off the side of a rock and he's got a water ski rope holding me from rolling over. And the title sponsor was the first guy I asked was, Bill Cole, who was in our club, and he founded Torque Masters. And so I swapped out the lock rights that were in the Jeep when I bought it and put it in Aussies, and we went and had fun.
That's awesome.
That was like 2008.
Okay.
2009. And then I purchased the company in 2014 after about a year of negotiation.
Okay.
So I wasn't the only bidder when the opportunity came up. And that same CJ, what I was talking about when it was kind of coming to the end in 2013, there was a Jeep Girl Challenge out here in upstate New York. And I was like, okay, we're moving from a twin trailer to a single trailer and a motorhome, so we have to kind of consolidate our Jeep. And I had the AMC 360. My husband had the stock motor, so we were going to blend the Jeeps together. And the Jeep Girl Challenge was kind of the send-off of my Jeep, and I sent it. It was fun.
Went out with a bang.
Yeah, and then and a seized motor from a mud puddle and all sorts of stuff. So then we had a Jeep cut-up party, and all of our friends came over, and we took that thing apart in like an hour and a half.
Nice.
Okay.
But at that event, Bill Cole was there, and he was talking to us because Eric and I are still wearing our Aussie Locker, like, rock crawling outfits, so we looked like a good-looking team, you know? And everybody thought we were Aussie Locker. And Bill was there, and he's like, well, you know, getting kind of tired. You know, I'm turning 70. I'd like to hire somebody to do the day-to-day. And he mentioned that to Eric and I. And then the whole ride home, Eric and I were in the motorhome. We're like, what about this? What about this? What about that? And I was right at the point in my architecture career where I could go out on my own. I didn't have to work under a licensed architect anymore to get my license. So I called up Bill on Monday after the event and said, hey, Bill, like, would you ever consider selling the company? And he's like, yeah, yes, I would. Let's talk. And then I think to myself, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do I do now?
He said yes. He was supposed to say no.
That wasn't supposed to be this easy. Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. And then so a year of negotiations, like I've never bought a company before. I didn't know what a lot of aspects of business meant or entailed. Luckily, my husband was a successful contractor for 20 years and ran his own business. So he had tips and tricks, and we had valuations and lawyers and mentors and banks and all sorts of stuff for a year. And then finally, I kind of played eBay, and I bid the other guy out.
Huh. Fair enough.
Yeah. So
that works out.
Yeah, right.
The rest is history.
Sounds like it, yeah. So you like being a business owner? But, is that something you enjoy now?
Yes, definitely. There's pros and cons to working for the man and also being a business owner. So I've done both. And I don't think I would ever go back to being an employee.
It's kind of got to be hard once you get that taste of freedom. And now you're like, no, I'm not going to go work somebody else's 9-to-5.
Right.
Right. But I mean, the taste of freedom is how you design it. I still work 60, 70-hour weeks, but it doesn't really feel like work as much.
Right, yeah, it's a little bit
as
sweeter.
As a 40-hour week, you know, doing architecture.
Right, on the grind.
Yeah.
And now you're coming on late at night to talk to two rednecks in Michigan about lockers and stuff. So you're still working.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Work is a little bit different too, when you know, like your vehicles work, and then you can go beat on work,
right,
and have fun with work.
Depends on the mindset, right, though, because I can see you struggling with that.
Yeah,
because you'd be like, "What's that noise?" And I'm over here just radio up louder, just getting after it.
You'd be horrible. You'd be breaking everything.
Yeah. Bring it into the engineers on Monday, like, "Hey guys, what does this mean?"
Yeah. Well, my husband is. Since 2017, he's been working for the company, and he jokes that his title is the master maintenance technician.
Nice.
But just like today, we decided to build my new daily driver, a 4-door Toyota Tacoma. I'm like, oh, honey, by the way, we're going to build a truck from the ground up and we're going to have to take it to a show in September. Sound good?
No rush, babe. No rush.
Get to work. Yeah. All the overtime you need.
Yeah.
If you want to really put a crimp on them, Toyota Invasion at Silver Lakes in the end of July.
Oh, you got this. We have a Subaru to build and a super truck to wrap and get ready for Overland Expo Colorado. We got a lot of cool stuff this year.
Sounds like
that I'm super excited about. Yeah.
It's you guys catalog for vehicles you supply lockers and axle shafts for is pretty extensive because you just mentioned Subaru.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, sorry. You guys have an extensive catalog when it comes to vehicles you guys have parts for. I mean, like you said, you just mentioned Subaru. Yeah.
And Toyota. Super truck.
Yeah, I'm like.
Mm-hmm. Did you see her Super truck when we were camping? She had a photo of it on her phone.
Which one was it? No, I don't know.
You would remember it.
I would remember it.
Rowdy, yeah. It's like
That's how I the company is to look for areas where there's no aftermarket support and develop a premium product for them that's made in the U.S. and listen. And part of our travel and show schedule and all that is to have an ear to the ground when people say, hey, you know, the Toyota Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner discs are all the same. You make one locker, you can, you know, have 500,000 vehicles in this age frame that could be potential customers. And it's like, wow, why isn't everybody doing this?
Right.
And because we're flexible and because we make our parts here, we're not doing huge shipments and orders to China and waiting 6 months. We can crank out a prototype and test it in a few vehicles, and then go into production.
That's awesome.
And like you say, I was like, oh, no, I got to buy a Tacoma to test this part out. Oh, darn.
That's an overwatch.
We got to test the Extreme, you know. Who knows what they'll do, so I guess we'll have to put a long travel on it. And we'll see what big tire we can cram on there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Work.
I mean,
got
why
it.
Not?
I love the idea of Tacoma, but I'm still wrapping my mind around like a Subaru Crosstrek with lockers in it. That just seems kind of rowdy too.
There's so many things.
Because she said Subaru, I'm like, wait a minute. I could look like a soccer mom and go pound on it in two tracks around here.
Well, wait till you see the one that we're finishing up. A guy named Dave Tracy in Connecticut was just bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. He's like, gotta do Subaru. You gotta do Subaru. He's an engineer. And I was like, well, if you want to help with the fitment and tell me it's actually viable,
right,
then take a look, let me know. And he did, and we found out basically most Subarus from 1997 to 2020 can run a locker.
Wow.
And so we prototyped some and started selling Subaru lockers. And now what I think is pretty cool about that is we legitimized the platform.
Yeah,
because there weren't a lot of other off-road companies listening to people with Subaru. And it's a market.
Yeah.
It's definitely a market, and we're having fun with this. So Dave Tracy, same guy a couple of years later, two kids, just moved to a new house, and he gave us a call. He's like, Corey, he's like, thinking about selling the Subaru. I don't really have the time for it. Oh, and by the way, it's one of the biggest Subarus built. He's got 7 inches of lift, more ground clearance than a stock Jeep, and coilovers. So I'm like, yeah, I guess we should take that one.
I probably need that. Yeah.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah. But I mean, keep it in the family. It's the first prototype.
Right.
And with that IFS, it's like a Hummer, like where there's nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
That's super rad. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap it Mojito green.
Oh, crazy. I could have guessed that.
Mojito JL.
Yeah, there's a theme there you got going on.
We're going to go jump it. We're going to go do silly stuff with it. We're going to go rock crawling, like hardcore rock crawling with it.
I want to see
like
that thing at Silver Lake.
Yeah.
I think that's where you need to go.
We're going
to
show what the Subarus can do once they have a locker.
Well, and it's one of those things where I'm actually on a couple, you'd be surprised, Subaru, like, off-road Facebook groups.
Not surprised at all.
Yeah.
And you see, like, they're trying. Totally. They're totally trying, but like you said, a stock Wrangler with 31s can go a lot more places, but they can't get 29 miles a gallon getting there. So it's kind of like pick your poison. But if I can get some 31s and lockers on a Subi, that's a rad little truck. Especially, I mean, it would have done 99.8% of the trails we did on the expedition trip, no problem.
I'd say they do 100%.
Yeah.
Stock.
You just get a snorkel. You don't have to worry about deep water.
That's my one of my concerns, is water and deep water and deep snow are my two concerns in little cars.
Yeah.
That sounds super rowdy.
Now he's expanded his
I gotta stop making fun of Subarus. There's two guys at work that have Subis. They're both not the Forester, I think the one down, I don't even know what it is, but they park by each other all the time.
Legacy Alpha?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And they park by each other and it's like super cute, and I'm always making fun of them, and I'm like, maybe I should go get me a Subaru. One of the other guys got a Crosstrek, and it looks cooler.
Yeah.
But Andy said they're underpowered. Mm. Andy had one. But, I mean, I'm used to driving a Jeep, so everything's underpowered to me.
Yeah.
Right.
When I get something that has snap to it, it scares me.
Yeah, I guess when I always thought of them, I always just thought rally car.
Right. Just send.
Yeah. Just dirt road.
Yeah.
And, yeah, don't lift.
Now dirt road and locked now.
Well, that adds a whole new, yeah.
It's cool to know it doesn't affect
some of them,
the automatic system, the whatever they call their all-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great to know it doesn't affect that.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't feel wheel slippage.
Right. I was almost thinking
about
that.
Because your wheels are going in a proportional speed.
Okay.
And what's also cool is they have center differentials, and some of them you can electronically lock out, so it's 50-50 torque front and rear. And those are the guys that are really rock crawling, and that's what we have in this.
Okay.
Really rock crawling.
Yeah. Check out our Insta.
Apparently we didn't stalk good enough before the show.
We usually are pretty good about its time. Oh. All right.
But now challenge we also make it for side-by-side.
Cool.
Because, of course.
Don't tell my wife that because she wants a side-by-side now.
Which is a booming market.
Well, yeah. Last year, there were 220,000, or 2 years ago, Jeep Wranglers sold. There were 450,000 side-by-side sold. Not ATVs, just side-by-side.
That's insane.
Literally double the market, and only a couple aftermarket companies from the 4x4 off-road world are starting to dabble in the side-by-side.
Yeah, I'm starting to see legitimacy given there just based on the tire companies that are starting to chase them. Because you can see, like, BFG's making stuff for them. I think Maxxis is making stuff, like, actually not just small tires. They're making UTV-specific tires now.
Yeah, you can definitely see the evolution.
Yeah, we got into that game in 2017.
Okay. The same kind of deal, lockers, front and rear for the most popular brands, I assume?
Yeah, so usually front. So Can-Am has a spider gear type differential in the front.
Okay.
And most of them have spools in the rear. And it gets a little complicated with Polaris has these patents that affect the whole drivetrain. So it was limiting other companies on what they could produce as far as selectable lockers and rear lockers. So that's why a lot of them have spools in the rear.
Okay.
But yeah, Can-Am, the 2007 to 2020, we fit every one of their ATVs and UTVs, except for the X3s. They came out with a new disc about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Front disc, but it's optional. So we still fit the base packages.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, you said that's for everything, it's just that affordable option that I really like. And I think we talked probably before the show. But I think we were talking about, I had a buddy of mine who had a, I don't know the brand, but, you know, similar style locker, and it actually failed, but it failed, like you said, it was failed in the lock position as opposed to just failed as an open carrier, which I think is another benefit that I don't think many people know about. I'll be honest, I didn't know that that's, like, how they're made to be.
Yeah, usually... a lunchbox style locker has dowel pins, and they're kind of like a fuse. So if you break an axle shaft inside the diff or something, jump the vehicle, sometimes those dowel pins can shear. And if they do, then the locker turns into a spool. So so it fails locked. Whereas, as you guys know, if an air locker loses line, you have an open differential.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's something I don't think people design, know.
Yeah, not a lot of people do know that or consider that when making a purchase, but the torque locker version we came up with, I said it was like the big brother. We eliminated those dowel pins, and we have machined in keyways that can never shear. It takes more material and more time on the machine, but that's why we can offer the best warranty in the market by far, because that little fuse is not there. It can be somewhere else, like a aftershaft.
Right, and I think that's definitely a huge thing when you compare them, and you know, I've heard people talk before, right? And they say the same thing. It's like, oh, it's those little dowel pins that they break. And again, people don't know that that's, like you said, kind of like the fusible link in a way. But yeah, when you step up to the big Torque Master, it's a definite, you know, just looking at the website, you see the you said the keyways, you're like, oh, that's substantial. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's no argument. It's the strongest mechanical locker.
On the cool thing, I was just when she was talking about breakage, like I always go to like, you know, me being under over prepared for everything. I'm like, for the price that she's talking, I've got 44s in my save my JK.
Yeah.
I could buy three of these for the price of an air locker and have one in my tool bag. And if it does fail, I can change it at the campfire.
Yeah.
Like
but
I mean,
knowing that it fails, you're still
yeah, it fails locked.
Yeah. I mean, even if it fails and you break one tire off, you still have traction to get back on three wheels.
Yeah, that's just super cool.
You'd be better off actually just doing an axle shaft because you're not going to hurt the locker, especially not the torque locker, no matter what you do. You're going to break an axle shaft. You're going to strip a ring and pinion. But at least an axle shaft, you can carry spares.
Right.
So we like to be proactive and say, you know, upgrade your shafts before you potentially break them and keep the OEM ones as spares.
And if you need axle shafts, who do you got to contact? Oh, you guys happen to have those also.
Crazy. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. I know a girl. I'll call her.
No. That's probably a good idea.
Those have a really good warranty, too.
Warranty is the best part.
Yeah. Warranty. Yeah.
It gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling.
The only thing I haven't had a problem with in all my Jeeps is a spool. Because you really, I mean, if you break that, you're in problem town.
Yeah, but
it's obnoxious in town. Yeah.
You
and,
also eat tires and everything else. And
so, I always, when I go to town and go to like, the grocery store and I drive that one, like the one tire is always like sucked under and people look at me like I'm stupid because it's like chirping everywhere I go.
Yeah. It's like something's broke.
Yeah.
Here
I am.
Something's not right.
I'm here. Well, then I got, you know, my Norwegian death metal blaring with no doors on. Doesn't help anything.
No. Yeah. It draws attention in so many ways.
Yeah. So the one thing that I didn't know about you, and you told us about this in your pre-interview, you like to cook, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about cooking. So do you like cooking on the trail? Do you like cooking at the house? What's your preference?
All of the above. And I feel like Jim, you do too. So we're like campfire buddies
for sure.
For off-road camping and even out of the motorhome we have, I do have an Aorus Scottle.
Okay.
I've had Timbo Tusk Scottle, which is great, lasted us many years, still in great shape. The Aorus one is made by our friend Ryan Chapman. He's from our area and moved out to St. George, Utah a number of years ago, and he wanted to perfect it, so he probably had the same complaints I do. The cast or the steel version, you get like nuclear in the middle,
right,
and then kind of cold on the outside. So the Aorus one, and Jim, I think you have the same.
I do.
Cast iron heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cast iron, so it heats more evenly. You can sear more like a cast iron pan. My only complaint with that is it takes longer to cool down. So for quick morning stuff, I do that first, and we get that done first. And then I make the coffee, you know? So, I love cooking for a crowd. This year at King of the Hammers, I was helping out in Levi Shirley's pit, helping feed the guys. Well, my husband Eric was pitting for them, and I was also doing, like, logistics and calling out race miles and informing the team what was going on.
So you just,
I had full internet.
You don't like having one thing to do. I'm picking up on this. Because you could have just cooked and then watched.
Boring?
Yeah, you could have just cooked and watched. No, I need to be in charge of the race miles, too, and make sure it's getting coordinated.
Like, oh, my God. It's so many things.
And I'm working on a bunk cake. Like,
breakfast is done, coffee's ready, and I know exactly what mile you're at.
I did make homemade corn tortillas for the team while calling race miles.
That's right. I never got to eat those because you said you brought some with us, yeah. And we were supposed to have fajitas, but we were always so tired by the time the trail was over, we never ate the fajitas.
Yeah.
Because she was talking, well, we were making the one night. She's like, oh, I got fresh corn tortillas. I'm like, where are they at?
Where are these you speak of?
Yeah. And then I went to bed.
Yeah.
But once you start making homemade corn tortillas, it's really hard to go to store-bought again, and it's ridiculously easy. So, you know, teach yourself.
It's something I should probably do because we make my wife's Hispanic, and we make – or she's Mexican. I guess she prefers that terminology, but we make tamales. That's every year. And
yeah.
So we go down to the masseria, and we buy 20 pounds of masa every year, and it's similar, but it's a different blend, I guess, for the tortillas. But all you got to do is get the stuff and then mush it.
Yeah, as far as I buy the premix, and as far as I know, it's the same.
Okay.
It just could be water to mix proportions. It's different.
So all I know is Grandma always, or Abuela always tells us to make sure you get masa for tamales, not masa for tortillas. And we go down there, so I got to tell them which one I want.
Oh, okay.
And they come out like it looks like I'm smuggling drugs because I get four like 5 pound packages wrapped in butcher paper. It's just like this big hunk. It's great. But yeah, dude, I love that orsis, though, that you're talking about. Orisis, orsis, the scottle.
Oris, yeah.
Yeah, I do love it.
Scottle.
I wish that they were a little better on their Instagram game. They're a little slow with that. But I do love the product. I'm not sure if you saw the recent post. I broke mine, so I got to get a new burner for it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I broke it. I went out to cook, and it started leaking out of the valve. I was peeing propane everywhere. So I made a campfire and a little grill, and I put the scottle burner or the cast iron on top of that and cooked the dinner on top of the grill.
That's how you get creative.
Yeah. Hey,
I saw
man,
that.
I was hungry.
Yeah. We swapped out a Coleman burner on ours because he gave us a turbo burner and it was like too much.
Okay.
One thing that I've been doing a lot with camping, I'm super addicted to my sous vide and I have a vacuum sealer. So what I'll do is I'll sous vide beans from scratch or, you know, sous vide up some steaks, some pork chops, and then I freeze them. And then you take them out of the freezer in the morning or the bottom of the fridge in the morning, put them on the top so they thaw out, and then you just sear it. And you have a beautiful steak that's already cooked, and you didn't have to do anything but heat up the orris and sear both sides.
It's actually pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
Because I've got one of those sous vide wands that you put in, like, the pot, and I'm not sure what it's called, but it's like a little, it looks like an immersion blender.
Yeah.
You stick it in your pot, and it boils the water or whatever. I could totally do that and just have pre-made, just got to warm them up food.
I'm just the guy who surrounds myself with people who cook really well.
Yeah, so
you can order a family pack and just throw them all in a lobster pot. You season them, throw them all in the lobster pot. Because you already have the hot water. It's already working. So instead of doing two, why not do eight?
Right.
And then throw some in the freezer. And, you know, if you're working late one night and you don't feel like cooking and you want a nice, well-rounded meal, you can just throw it in the hot water. And then my new favorite thing is the Instant Pot with the air fryer. And so you could do roasted potatoes in, like, 12 minutes.
Oh, that's pretty awesome, man. Instead of an hour that takes me.
Yeah, and you don't heat up the house, and the oven doesn't get smoky. And then tonight I threw some broccolini in at 5 minutes, and like potatoes and broccoli, and for size, and it was good.
I love the fact that you can tell somebody's from the Northeast when they hit you with lobster pot.
Yep.
Doesn't everybody have one?
Yeah, but mine's for pasta. I've got like the 2 gallon, 3 gallon pot I make big bats of pasta in or whatever. But she's like, I got a lobster pot. I'm like, yep, I know where they're from.
Yeah, I grew up in Massachusetts.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I started, like, I've liked cooking for a while, but I started really trying to enjoy the Scotto life, I guess, just seeing what I can make in one pot or on one surface. And it's kind of cool. Yeah, it's
totally.
There's some, like you said, there's some definite benefits to the Scotto or the Timbo Tusk version. Like when I was making my my jambalaya, something like liquidy is way easier because it's more dished. It's more of a dished steel bowl than instead of the flat. But if you can control your stirring, you know, you can make it work pretty well. And steaks, burgers, fajitas have all been awesome on the Orsis. I've loved it. And I'm still looking for the next. What am I going to try next? Now that I got my lid for it and I'm all fired up, I need a new burner and a wind protector apparently because it was on Silver Lake. It was a little bit choppy. The day that it did work, it kept wanting to blow out one side.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got to get like the wind script for it.
We could fab something up.
Yeah.
You could fab one up.
Yeah, I got skills. I can do something.
Somebody,
that'll be my, I can benefit somehow.
That's your contribution so I can cook for you.
Yeah. Keep things running, moving, and fab up wind protectors for the cooking devices.
I use mine at home. I mean, mine's on my, when it's not camping, it's on my deck, and I use it at home.
That's
so
awesome.
Instead of like a Blackstone, I've got a Scottle in the backyard.
Yeah. I use my Timbo Tusk cover on the Auris.
Okay.
And then I'd say some of the more interesting dishes I did on the Timbo Tusk Scottle, pad thai.
Nice.
And I boiled the noodles in the water, and that was the first item we did. And then I blanched them in cold water and then cooked everything else. I've also done steamed lobster and clams.
That's impressive.
That was fun. So I took a strainer wire basket and flipped it upside down and put water in the bottom of the Timbo Tusk and then put the lobsters on the strainer and then the cover on.
Okay. Yeah, and that's one place where that really
excels.
That
was on a whim.
Just on a whim. I just thought I would try it.
We were in Florida and everybody's eating seafood and my husband hates seafood. So I'm not really like allowed to cook it in the house because he gets cranky.
Yeah.
So if we're at a campground, you know, it's fair game.
Yeah, we're outside.
There's rules here.
Yeah.
This had to be out east, though, because I love the fact that you had a campground and you still were able to find fresh lobster and clams.
Yeah, it was in Florida.
Okay. Like, that had to be someplace.
Got to be by something, some salty water somewhere.
Because I'm not sure I'd go to any gas station that we were at up in the UP and go, hey, you guys got any lobster laying around?
Yeah, no. That's not a good idea.
Yeah,
they have whitefish.
Yeah, the fresh whitefish is everywhere up there. I bought Marco's book as well, the Overland Cook, and he's got some pretty cool recipes in there.
I haven't tried that.
Yeah, so Marco is Overland X. He's one of the he's friends with Casey and Frank from Rigged for Dirt. Not Casey and Frank, Ali and Frank.
Ali and Frank.
And he wrote a book. Okay. It's all about Scotto cooking. He's that guy that, like, you know, you carry tools and parts. The whole back of his Jeep's like a kitchen. He's got rollout fridges and tables that pop up. And he's always making, like, bomb fish tacos on the Baja coast and all kind of crazy stuff. He wrote a book about it. It's called, I think it's just called The Overland Cook. And I've got it on my coffee table. And I go through and flip through it. I'm like, I could probably make that. And one of the guys I work with is a big fisherman. And he's got property in, up in the Sioux. Not the Sioux. Marquette. So he'll bring me home, like, 6-pound trout fillets. Hey, I caught a lake trout. Do you want this? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So then I'm at home making fresh lake trout fish tacos and stuff on it. So it's pretty rad.
Jesus. Oh, man. That's awesome.
Oh.
So that's one aspect I really do like about overlanding and the trip that we took is there's more to the day than just the off-roading.
Right.
If you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
There's the campground, there's camaraderie, there's a fire, there's food. There's people with different setups, and you're like, oh, why'd you do this? And, oh, what about that? And the conversation just keeps going.
Yeah, that's the best part. And it was almost, for me, a little overwhelming because there were so many people there. Like, I don't really think I ever talked to, like, the guys from Armor Up because I was never in the same circle that they were. And I'm like, I kind of felt bad because I never even really talked to the dudes. But there were so many people there.
Yeah.
You know, bouncing around, but it was super great. I loved the meals that we had, but I was kind of bummed we never got to cook because that was one thing where, like you said, people always kind of gather around the chef and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of – because I brought like 12 pounds of fajita meat with us. Like I was ready to throw down and feed people.
Well, you didn't make fajitas. It was just like at midnight randomly one night.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, and I usually need to bring food for all meals in case Eric and I can't eat them because we have a gluten food allergy.
Right.
So, like, I have to over-prepare so, if I don't use everything, I can just take it back home.
Right.
So it's not a big deal. But that's just been part of our life since, like, 2012, I think.
Just something you're used to now, yeah.
But it gets easier and easier, and more people are having the same allergy. It's getting more well-known, and we know all the options. Like, I can create a pretty decent meal out of a convenience store.
Nice.
Right, yeah. It's at the point where you wouldn't even – most people don't even realize.
Right. There's gluten-free beer and there's vodka, so you're golden.
Yeah. Whatever. I'll eat whatever.
And cheese sandwiches.
Yes.
We found in Michigan.
Cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Just a straight.
Two slices of cheese with salami in the middle.
Okay.
And they sell it as a cheese sandwich.
I mean, I've done that with like a lettuce wrap around it, but that just raw dog. And I wouldn't like touching the cheese with my bare hands, making my cheese all dirty.
Well, if you peel it open slowly,
I got you.
Package the wrapper.
I'm going to try it when I get home. I want to make, she just gave me an idea for like burger buns. You put shredded cheese on a scottle and melt it down until it's like crunchy. And then boom, grilled cheese, burger buns.
All right.
Making that happen.
Doing that?
Yeah.
That's a thing? Okay.
It's going to be. I call it the cholesterol burger.
We're getting hungry.
Yeah. I think I am too.
I don't think Jason's even eaten yet, so he's really hurting.
So much thoughts.
Back in our 4x4 club days when we used to go winter wheeling, somebody would always bring a little gas grill.
Yep.
And we would all bring cheddar pots.
Okay.
And yes. So when it's like 20 degrees out, you're all standing outside trying to be social, not inside your vehicles if they had heat. And then just mound down on some cheddar pots and just hit the spot.
I can crush some cheddar pots. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if there's like a championship, but I think I'm up there.
So our winter go-to was always grilled cheese pizzas. It's just like a grilled cheese sandwich, but with the stuffing is all pizza fixings. So pepperoni, mozzarella cheese, pizza sauce, green peppers, and you do it like a grilled cheese. So still something warm and gooey.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's actually, if you look at the same Instagram post on the back of the truck, I'm cooking them for lunch one day in the back of her truck with my jet oil.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, they do make gluten-free bread, so that is a feasible project right there.
So I like them because they're super easy. You can make them anytime. They're good, at the campfire. Because you make them in, like, the pie irons. That's how you can make them as well, but they work just fine in the pan. I usually use just a pan on a single burner cook stove, and I can make those up pretty quick and whip them out and feed people.
I'm getting so hungry.
Call one of your kids. Have them go to Taco Bell.
Again?
Yeah.
It's just not the same. I want, like, good food now. You guys keep talking about deliciousness.
So I think we covered a lot of the important stuff.
Pretty much.
One of the things that we haven't talked about yet is Petunia. How is she?
Oh, Petunia's doing great.
Yeah.
She was a little... So Petunia, our puppy, she's a black lab. She's in his four. This was her first, the Expedition 2 was her first overland style trip. And so my husband and I, we were in a rooftop tent, and she slept in her dog bed in the folded down back seats of our jail. And she did great. She never like woke us up. She doesn't really bark. So she was just super patient, wait for us to get up, and she'd pop out and go walk around and shake her butt and look for food scraps and get some scratches.
As far as like a dog goes on like an event like that, this is awesome. You just like show up like, oh good, I got a dog to pet.
Thank God. This is awesome.
Like, all right, I feel like home now.
And the great part, she seems so unloved too, because she went to everybody like, nobody ever pets me. Will you pet me?
He gives you that look.
Yeah.
I'm abused. Would you pet me?
I think she swam in more of the Great Lakes than some Michigan people probably have now.
Yeah,
probably. I think she's saw three seen. Of them.
Oh, awesome dog life.
But yeah, she's adorable. She's so people centric.
Yeah,
she was picked by the breeder, her breeder, to be a mommy dog, and so she lived with all the females until a year and a half when she went to go get examined. Like they take X-rays and test the blood, make sure the hormones are right and everything. and she didn't pass her elbow exam. And so I knew the breeder, and the breeder knew we wanted another dog because we had lost one. And her best friend was really lonely. And so she called us up and asked if we wanted a buyer. And we said, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Been waiting for this phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been waiting. I've been dreaming because we didn't have time for a puppy. And Ollie, our old guy, he was like 13 years old, so a puppy wouldn't be a good fit.
Right.
So we got Petunia. She was a year and a half old, and all she wanted to do was be with people. And yeah. She loved Ollie, too. She played with him, and he has since passed away, but she absolutely loves people. The first event we took her solo to was Overland Expo East, and that was in 2019. And we had never really seen her around kids or other dogs that much. And we knew she was super chill. And she just hung out in her booth. And kids would come up and hug her and pull on her ears. And she just gives them a little lick on the face. And she loves it. Absolutely yeah. loves it.
Yeah, she's definitely the perfect dog for what you guys do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the events you go to.
Saved her zoomies for the beach and had a great time.
Yeah.
We had a Bantam Geek Festival, and I forget how many thousands of people were there. And the same thing, like, people come up and be like, can I pet your dog? And I'm like, yeah. She loves it. She eats it up. She's such a ham. She gets, like, sad when we leave an event because there's not 200 people coming up to her every day. See? Oh, hi.
So spoiled.
Right.
It's travel all over. I know. See everybody.
Best life ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Now she gets some zoomies and like UPS guy shows up. She's like, hey man, you have any cookies?
I'm looking forward to seeing her on that website. I'm on that website too, their Facebook page, the dog's UPS. I'll see her on there one day.
Yeah.
I'll know it because she'll probably be wearing something green.
Yeah.
I'll know who she is.
Yep. CN green collar.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And you heard the best part, right, about this whole situation? Somebody, was it LL Bean that just dropped the dog with the green collar?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Petunia flip-flops. I bought two pairs. One pair that I can wear and one to keep forever. So usually LL Bean does a black lab with a red accent. But this time they have a green accent. So a green collar and green accents on the flip-flops. And then the straps itself is a bunch of black dogs playing fetch. So it was meant to be.
You just know, like, got to have them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only because labs don't come in neon green. I get it.
So people that listen to your podcast that don't really know us, we're obsessed with green. Yeah. Like, we were obsessed with green before we bought the company. And it's our logo. And it's our brand. And it's everything in our life. I mean, I have green spatulas.
Oh, okay.
We have green Jeep. Green camera bag. So green, black, and white is like pretty much everything we own.
And if anybody finds your Instagram, they'll be able to see that because like the first three lines are green.
Yes.
We also have a green day, which is an interesting Instagram concept. Because you know how some people do like the macro post where it's like 9?
Okay.
And it follows down. Or you can do, like, 3 vertical, but then there's always, like, an off day or two. What we did is every third day is green, and what that does is it makes a long vertical green.
Yeah, the whole right side is green.
All the way down her feet.
Yeah. I'm actually on
it
right now.
And it changes. Yep, it changes every day. It'll be right, left, middle, right, left, middle.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. This is awesome.
Isn't that cool?
So we're coming up on the hour mark, which is actually awesome because
cool.
We never got bored like you're worried about.
Yep.
Where can, I guess where the wrap up comes down to, do you have anybody you want to thank for anything or any sponsors you work with? And then where can people find you to talk about Torque Masters Industries stuff?
Okay. One thing we didn't really talk about is welding.
Oh, we did not talk about welding.
I used to do a lot of welding. I'd work on my own vehicles and because of AutoCAD and everything, we got a CNC plasma cutter in like 2009 or 2010, and so I'm cutting my own parts and working with Eric a lot in the shop.
Jealous.
But that was more so back in the day. And then 2015, we bought a scrap LJ and built it to a stock class race car, and we raced King of the Hammers together with the brand new torque locker. And we built that car in 60 days.
Wow.
Which wasn't insane, because he was still working full time.
Don't mind me, so just building a race car at night.
Yeah. I partnered with Miller Welders. I always ran their products, and I took welding classes at Mahaney here in Rochester, which is a really cool, now it's called the Arc and Flame School. And nice. You can go and get professional licenses. You can just take date night MIG welding classes, and they have a whole variety of classes there, which is really awesome. State. Unfortunately, I don't have much time to get in the shop anymore. And I do miss it, but welding is definitely a skill that I think everybody should take a stab at. It's very approachable now with the auto set. They make it very simple for setting, and just like hot glue.
Just like hot glue, like sparkier,
yeah,
and cooler.
Just, yeah, more chance of flame, yeah. But still, it's awesome. I do enjoy it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something you could focus solely on, and so it kind of calms the brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
I can see that
is therapeutic, I would say.
Just you and your puddle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's moving that puddle around, making it look good? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, but we do work with a lot of companies on our bill. Milestar Tires is on all of our vehicles. Except for Super Truck for now. And we were an early adapter to Milestar Tires, and we raced King of the Hammers on their tires untested in 2018. We had that much confidence in Martin and the program he put forth. So that's a big gamble for an East Coast team that drives 4 days out there and spends thousands and thousands just on fuel to get out there.
Right.
And so the tires, they did great at KOH. We did all of our pre-running, shock tuning, and racing on the same set. And we had a pretty clean race. And put the truck, or the Jeep in the trailer, went home. It went back to Moab 3 weeks later. Same set of tires, wheels, all of Easter Jeeps apart.
Wow.
Same set. We still have those tires. They're still... they're kind of like our backup ones.
They're just bronze now in the corner.
Yeah. So Milestar Tires, big one that we work with. Clayton Off-Road is the go-to suspension. Back when I was doing competitive rock crawling, I always got beat by TJs on Clayton Long Arms. So
fair enough.
Well, I'm on a CJ in Leaf Spring.
Right.
Yeah. And they had selectables and I had automatics. And we're trying to do hairpins, side hill, cone dodging. So when it came to us building a KOH car, I had to have a Clayton long arm kit. And they have a lifetime warranty. And they're known for their square two,
right,
which is stronger than a round two. So we love those guys. We also work with Nemesis Industries. They're out of Colorado. The LJ that we built with all of their armor was 800 pounds lighter than steel armor. So they just do aluminum armor.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So we also run their products on our JF.
Nice.
And they're another non-corporate, made in USA company that we like to support.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But we do... come up winch, we run their product. ADS Shock has been with us for a long time, and they, in my opinion, are some of the best shocks on the market, and not everybody has heard of them. They're out of Arizona. Let's see, we have Raceline wheels on everything too, We really believe in their product.
There's a stack of them.
And then for electrical management, we use Epcot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So those companies have been with us through multiple builds and still with the projects we're working on now. So we've built relationships with these companies. We know the owners. We trust their products. And they have excellent customer service.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear that you've been with them for that long and it's continued and it's just getting better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That is awesome.
Cool.
All right.
Well, where can they find you, though? So they want to come check out Toy Lockers and they want to order some lockers. How do they find you?
Okay, so we spell Torq, T-O-R-Q. So we drop the U-E. So it's torqmasters.com. And on Instagram, we're torqmasters. Facebook, we're Torq Masters. If you see green Torq, that's us.
Look for the green first.
Look for the green.
Yes.
And we'll link. We'll link you when it drops, obviously, so they can find you easier. But just in case you're listening to it in their car, and they got to remember it.
Oh, cool. Absolutely. Awesome.
So we'll probably drop this, and we'll give you guys all links to all the stuff she mentioned. And
all right.
Follow her for recipes and dog pictures.
All right. We're going to wrap the episode up. Cora, don't go anywhere yet. We're going to talk to you for a minute after. And
thanks so much for being on.
I think that's it.
Hit the music.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Hitting the music.